Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Felt like someone was stabbing me with a knife. I knew he was big, but I didn't know how big.
Was he over 10 pounds?
10 pounds, 4 ounces.
Do you guys believe in soulmates?
Yes.
Actually?
No. You know you don't.
Oh, because
that
started
a fight.
Yeah, you guys got in a big fight about that during premarital counseling.
The biggest divorce rate is empty nesters when all your kids are gone.
Wait, really?
That's I had no idea.
The largest percentage. It could be easy to just go our separate, like you start doing your hobbies and I'll do my hobbies. We're committed. We would never get a divorce. One of us would just be dead. We would just kill the other one.
Don't do that.
I'm kidding.
My body would never be found.
What's up, dudes?
And welcome back to the Unplanned Podcast.
Yay!
Today we are joined by my parents. This is their second appearance on the podcast. You guys are only our second guest to appear on the podcast twice.
Wow.
So
we're honored.
We're popular.
Hey, we're honored to have you here. I'm honored that you're wearing our merch. Thank you.
I love these. These are comfortable.
What do you guys think about it?
Yeah,
give me your honest feedback on the merch.
I like it.
It really is warm and cozy. It feels nice and soft.
It's quality. I can tell it's got quality fabric.
I like this color.
Wait,
that makes me happy.
We didn't quality, pay them wait. To say that, by the way.
Yeah, that this is honestly their.
This is
their
free,
real
right?
Feedback.
I get it free.
You get it free.
We okay. will give it to you for free.
I'm kidding.
Talk to us afterward. We will pull some.
We
strings.
Will ship it to your house.
This is a
we
good
can
color.
Ship it to you.
I like this.
Isn't
color.
The blue cool?
Yeah,
I really like it.
I like
it.
The blue, but I really like the black.
Oh, you like the black yes. more? Because I kind of like. I think people might like the blue more, but you're
this
digging
is
the black.
Unique.
When you get fat like me, then you wear the black. It hides my belly.
It covers a lot of.
Yeah. I'm excited to have you guys on today because I just realized you have been married for 31 years. That is a long time.
It feels longer. It feels longer.
It just seems longer.
Do you remember what life was like before marriage?
It was wonderful.
No, stop.
She said no, stop.
Mom, what about you? Do you remember life before marriage?
Not hardly.
It just kind of feels like you've eternally been married to this man.
I can't imagine any other... way.
Man.
No, it has been wonderful.
Do you guys believe in soulmates?
Yes.
Actually?
No, you know you don't.
Oh, because that started
got
a fight.
Yeah,
wait, you guys
fight.
Got in a big fight about that during premarital counseling, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we
you
were at
tell
the church
the story?
And our survey indicated that we were a perfect match, but there was a couple things that we were pretty
extremely
far apart
extremely different on.
And it was about, you feel like this is the only person that you could be married to and be happy. And I said no, and Mom said yes.
Yeah,
and
like I was like 10, yes, because it's like 2 weeks two. Before the marriage. I'm like, yes,
dang.
It's my one and only. And he's like, absolutely not. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And so that really hurt your feelings.
Yeah, because the way I thought about it, it was like if I lived in a different state and never met Mom, I'm sure I'd probably find somebody as nice, but not as pretty, that I could be married to and enjoy my life with.
Good answer.
Yeah, Abby and I were talking about that because we kind of both agree that we don't believe in soulmates, so... what about you? Has your opinion changed?
I think you swayed my opinion.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, because I think, like, if you wouldn't have been so logical about it, I would have been like, yeah, I think we are soulmates. Like, I couldn't be with anyone else.
Yeah.
But your logical brain has changed my brain to think about things more logically, I guess.
Has your opinion changed, Mom?
Yes, because my brain is logical, too. But this, like I said, this was like within weeks of the wedding.
Yeah.
So I was all goo-goo and in wedding mode and in love, which is good.
Yes.
And I'm still in love. But
me too.
Being that I have a logical brain, I was like, you're right. There's somebody in Alaska. There's somebody in California. There's somebody,
I think relationships, no matter if it's a spouse or a friend, takes work. You know, there's friends that I've had years ago and I don't see them very often. We've kind of grown apart, and the same thing happens if you're not together and you're doing things on a regular basis. You grow apart.
Yeah.
And whether it's somebody you met in your state or you met far, far away, it just takes effort. And if you're apart from that person, you lose that relationship, you lose that that bond.
Yeah.
That's
don't
a
you agree
point.
When you think that's true?
Oh, totally.
Communication.
So yeah, so we try to spend time every night together. And you know, I think it's important that I had an opportunity to go to Peoria, Illinois. It had been a lot more money, and I knew that would not be good for our life, our marital life. So I decided not to pursue that because I just knew that, you know, once you get displaced, and we know people that are living that kind of life where
Wait,
they
you're
work.
Talking about like a job opportunity that happened recently?
Where you this is about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, pretty recent.
And you were thinking about like living separate lives almost that you can make your money?
Yeah, during the week.
I didn't interview for the position, but the guy who I knew worked for a company that I worked for, and I said, hey, we think you might be a good fit. We'd be interested. And he told me how much money it was going to be. And
a lot.
It was more than 3 times, almost 5 times as much money as I'm making. So it's very, very tempting. And I didn't interview because I realized if I go up to Peoria and I'm away from mom and the family, and this is, you know, 3 years ago, whatever, it just wouldn't be good. You know,
it's not healthy.
Unhealthy.
I mean, if you have to do it for a period, people do what they have to do. But long term, I don't think it's healthy.
But there's lots of people that do that. They live their lives where one of them has to be apart. And it's just tough, you know?
Yeah.
Celebrities have that issue.
We're not celebrities.
In the entertainment
industry.
You guys
are celebrities.
Oh, we are celebrities.
Yeah, you guys are a fan favorite on the pod. Hey, so serious note though, has there ever been a time in the 31 years that you've been married that you didn't think you were going to make it, or that you thought, oh, this is really hard. I don't know how we're going to move forward.
Probably about 4 or 5 times, I guess.
Are you serious?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to quantify it, but yeah, there was times where we were bickering.
Ups and downs.
I'd say, look.
Wait, bickering? No.
Bickering. And if you think it'd be better off that I'm gone, I'll pick up and leave, you know. And you know, I really didn't want to leave because I love her, and I would hate to be apart from mom. But we were just kind of having a tough time. But we worked through it.
It's not 50-50, as you guys know. It's sometimes you're giving 100 and the other person's giving 10. And, you know, it's just commitment. We're committed to each other. And one of the biggest is... I think the biggest divorce rate is empty nesters when all your kids are gone.
Wait, really?
I had no idea. The largest percentage. Because you're just in this grind mode of you take him there, I'm here, you're there, you know, here's dinner. And you don't even have time to think, and you try to fit each other in, which we tried to do that. Always have time for each other because you don't want the kids to be gone and then be like, what is your name? I don't even remember you. So... I was pretty good and intentional about scheduling, you know, our time weekends away or whatever once a year so that we could stay.
Oh, yeah. I remember the big, was it her 40th?
Or yeah, 40th.
40th.
You guys went to Hawaii for a big trip, and it was a week away from the kids.
Yep. So that was huge. 17 years ago?
Yeah.
As like parents, that. Was that hard to be away from the kids? Because how old were they at that time?
Oh, you guys are little.
Oh,
Matt, you were 25.
So Josh was 3.
I was 7.
3.
Yeah, that was the hardest. Josh was 3, Matt was 7, and Caleb was 9. And I think we kidded about this. Matt could have cared less because they were
very independent.
They were with each of my sisters, mom, grandmas, like 2-3 days with each person. Okay. No one could handle them more than 2 days because it was a lot, you know, 3, 7, and 9. But Caleb wanted to talk to us every day, and Josh did. But Matt was like, hey, bye, see ya.
Well, one of our relatives had a trampoline, and you guys wouldn't let us have a trampoline.
I know.
So you would call, and I'm like, I'm doing backflips on the trampoline. I don't want to talk right now. This is so much
That's
fun.
So Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had all girls, so it was a little safer, you know, but you were boys. But so anyway, it's lately we've been reading books on empty nesters and how to communicate and how to spark that fire and, just doing our bucket list of what we want to do now that everybody's out of the house.
So do you enjoy, as far as your marriage, is your marriage better or worse now that kids are out of the house?
It's kind of hard to say. It's just a different...
season.
Different intensity, I guess, is to what makes you happy. I guess we have more time and we have the chances of the kids. So it's a little bit more freedom, I guess, that we have to do what we want to do.
But that's why we're working on it. Like, it could be easy to just go our separate, like, you start doing your hobbies and I'll do my hobbies. That's the book I'm reading so they didn't have the busyness of their family, but they each started doing all the things that wanted to do that they couldn't with kids.
Okay.
Instead of doing them together. So, like, we've been walking the Katy Trail. We've been going to Augusta and just walking the Katy Trail and going to the winery or these... Yeah. Beer gardens or whatever, just for the day, you know, mm-hmm. that's in our backyard.
But we've also been working on a bathroom project. It takes a lot of time. And mom's done 97% of the planning.
Wow.
And that's what this family did too. You let everything go in the house when you have kids. You know what I mean? Especially three boys that just got destroyed. And now we're fixing up everything. And dad just fixed up a gym in the basement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's going to work out in that gym?
Guests? People that come to visit?
We'll charge you.
I still can't believe you're building membership. A whole gym. I'm like, you don't even work out at your own house.
Yes,
why would you build
will.
A house?
Yes, oh my gosh.
So our unfinished part of the basement just didn't have any drywall. And I just thought it'd be a little bit more appealing to me if I could put a TV
classy.
Down there and have something that's a little more appealing and inviting. And I need to get some better lighting. So, but anyway, it's pretty much done. And we had a little leak in our expansion tank, which sprayed water everywhere, but I got that fixed, and we're excited for you guys to see it.
Who cleans your house now that there's no kids there to clean it for you? Because I used to clean up all the hair. It doesn't get dirty. I cleaned all the hair off of your bathroom floor with the little sticky roller, and that was for pet dander. That wasn't even supposed to be for human dander, but it worked.
Because dad's
hairy. I thought everybody did that. I thought every kid picked up. I think you both are. I mean, there was so much hair on that floor.
This is the only thing I lose.
Yeah, you wait. Those two little boys you got, they're going to make messes where you didn't think you could have more of a messy thing. And it's just a constant battle.
Yeah.
Seriously, did you guys hire a cleaner? What are you doing for
kids? Yeah, she's got me.
You were good about having your boys do stuff around the house and be respectful.
Yes.
Like, I guess, what are some of your best tips for, like, we have two boys now, not three yet.
Got two.
I feel like we're going to have a third boy. I'm just saying it. I really feel like we will.
Probably so.
And that'll be the end.
We
I
have a little
have
girl,
named...
and I'm going to spoil her rotten.
I would love a little girl. Anyway, not about us.
No.
What are your best tips for raising little boys or little kids in general?
I guess my biggest tip is just give them the time they need. And you guys are doing a great job with it. You know, raising two wonderful little boys. I know you're just getting started with it. But just being understanding. And it's more about your relationship with them than the stuff. I came home one time and mom was trying to get the boys to clean something, and they put this cleaner on the carpet and it created a stain. And I was so upset that our nice house is going to have this permanent stain.
It's still there.
And it's still there.
The white spot on the carpet.
Was that Josh or me?
It's more important that you guys are learning to clean and helping your mom, and that our house was lived in. It didn't have to be perfect. It was about your relationship with your family, not how pretty the house was. And I think that's the biggest thing. So if something gets ruined or messed up, don't make a big deal about it. I know it's kind of stinks. It's money. You're trying to keep your house nice. But it's more important to have that relationship with your child than it has to have a perfectly clean house.
That's great.
Yeah. But if you're a perfectionist, which I can be or used to be, you know, you can do it better than they can. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take way longer to show them at two or three how to fold towels or whatever. And it's going to look bad. But you just have to take a deep breath and be like, this for the long in the long run, this is good.
That's
how you
learn.
I don't know. I cleaned that bathroom floor pretty good. You would tell me, hey, Matt, can I eat off of this? Because if I can't eat off of it, it's not clean enough.
Well, the other thing is, you know, your boys are little now. They're not at that age where they're going to start fighting. But mom came home one time when you and Caleb were having a big fight. And Caleb had you some type of a headlock.
This was like
high
school.
And you were scratching him. His neck was just all scratched up, bleeding. And you're all red-faced. And she told me about it. And I thought it
was
somewhat funny.
But that's rare.
But it's also scary because you get to a certain point, you can hurt each other.
But that was rare.
Yeah, you guys didn't really fight that much.
No.
How did you do that? Because I'm... like literally actively dreading the day that Griffin and Augie start fighting with each other.
I swear.
It's going to happen.
It depends on your oldest. It really, because we saw a lot of boy families in baseball because John coached a lot of baseball and soccer. And we would go on these tournaments and there was an older boy with little brothers and they would be so mean to them and the parents would do nothing and it just broke my heart. But Caleb set the standard. I mean, I'm not saying it's anything to do with us. I'm saying he has a great heart and was a very good big brother.
Aww.
And I think that trickled down, you know, to Matt, which then trickled down to Josh. Like, I think he really helped to make it a good situation.
Sweet.
And I think you got on top of those things right away.
I did.
If you let it fester, then it's hard to kind of bring it back down to a level where you can manage it. So you're doing a good job if you tell Griffin, hey, be good to your little brother. Don't hit him. Don't be mean. all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And it just, he realizes, oh, this is my little brother. I got to be good to my little brother. And I think that's important to learn at an early age, because later on they'll have some issues.
There's so much ugliness in the world and people beating up on each other. We're going to be good to each other in this house. Mm-hmm. And I think we might've talked about that last time. Not every night, but a lot of nights we'd go around the table and everybody had to compliment, say one nice thing about each person.
I remember that.
It sounds kind of corny, but you got to look for the positives.
It lifts them up. It
and
lifts
like
you up.
People that I've watched in your comments where people say negative things about you. And it's like, I don't understand why people would follow somebody just so they can haunt them and say something negative. Just be positive. You know, be positive.
These
two
with you,
people
Dad.
Are great people. They're doing a good job raising these two little boys. And they would not want nothing better than for their fan base to enjoy their friends and family and do good for each other. And you guys do that. So thank you.
That's really nice. Thanks,
That's
Dad.
So sure. Nice. They're literally like some of our biggest fans. It's so sweet. You guys, I feel like you guys listen to every podcast.
Not everyone.
Almost. We
90%.
Used to. But yeah,
do you, do you watch every podcast or YouTube video?
Like, almost.
We've watched some that we disclose some things that
we didn't
want
know.
To know about.
Like babies being conceived in our house.
You guys watch every episode. So I'm like, oh my gosh.
And then that's why I say, oh my gosh, my parents are going to watch this.
Yeah.
This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And as soon as we watch it, we send you a message.
Yeah. Or like Groupon. Someone said they use Groupon.
I think
and
you guys
like,
figured out that we conceived our child at Thanksgiving last year at your house. So
you go, my mom uses Groupon all the time. That's how
you are a big Grouponer. You are big into coupons, Mom. You have stashes of coupons in your house.
Used
like
to.
Everywhere.
Used to.
Oh, you don't, so is it now
you're
a virtual?
Yeah, it's
not
more virtual now.
But that's nice. Yeah. You have less clutter.
I know.
Is Mom decluttering a little bit? Or
what a blessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's things that she's getting rid of.
Okay.
One thing I've started to do for her is I get her flowers about once a month. She really likes flowers.
More than that, you've been almost like once a week.
That's nice. Good job, Dad.
Right before they clear out all the flowers at the cemetery, that's why you usually go in and get something nice.
That was
you
a good
can find
one.
Some really good decorations.
So has Dad gotten funnier as he's gotten older?
Yeah.
You think so?
I just think I'm funny.
Okay.
So this is the thing. You know, when you have three kids and I stayed home some and work part-time some and you're always just saving for them and their college, you know, I was like, I don't need flowers. Like, that's just a waste of money. It's frivolous. I always said that. And now I'm like having a different mindset. I'm like, Josh is a junior. You and Caleb are gone. I want to have flowers sometimes. So almost every week you get flowers.
Yeah, so much the flowers, just the idea
it's
that
so beautiful.
I'm thinking of her and I come home with flowers and she goes, oh my gosh, he thought about me
so
today.
I have them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I work from home Monday and I just can sit with them and it's nice.
For Abby, that's coffee. I'll go and get her a coffee like almost every morning and she loves it. It was crazy. The first time that I did it, the day was just amazing. She was so happy. It was just a great day. And I thought, man, I need to do this
literally
every day.
No, but like you
day.
Said, it's not about... The actual thing is that you thought of us.
Right.
And that you went and did something.
Right.
And I think about you all the time, but usually I don't accompany it by an action. So if I have an action that accompanies that, then you're aware. Oh,
you think about me all the time?
Of course.
I think positive thoughts.
By the way, can we just spam the comments with Abby looks so cute in her headband?
Yes.
I don't know why she never wears headbands, but this little headband she's wearing today is so cute.
Because I feel like Alice
cute.
In Wonderland.
I love it. I've never seen you wear...
Alice.
I haven't seen you wear a headband in years. I don't know why you decided to wear that today.
One.
But it's so cute.
I always thought it drew too much attention to my ears.
I think you have cute ears.
They're
you're
a
really
bitty.
Pretty. You're really, really pretty.
I do have little ears.
You're
maybe
just
that's
a
why
really,
it's kind of hard for me to hear.
You're a lovely mom.
And
you look so good.
As a
thanks,
mom,
babe.
It's really helpful to keep your hair out of your face.
Especially nursing. I'm like looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is great.
So send in gorgeous. The headbands.
I know. I just got two more headbands from Amazon for $5.25.
No way.
Awesome.
Wait, is it because I complimented it last night? And then you were like, I want to get more of these?
No, you complimented
it. It's cute.
Oh, I did that today.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I
okay.
just did buy now.
Oh, before I forget. So we ate at a restaurant with these two this afternoon. And on the way out, some fans recognized you. And you guys did a great job when somebody recognized you. And you took pictures with these little kids. And it meant the world for this little girl to be able to hit her picture taken with you guys.
Yeah, that was precious.
So that's something that I've watched and observed. Because if I was in your position, I might be tired. I don't want to do it. You guys just light up. And it's really neat to see how you guys... support your fans and just react to how fans are so happy because they're going to see you one time, maybe in their whole life, and for you to take your time out of your day to support their interest in you and take pictures, that's really neat. It's really
that's
cute.
That's so
thanks,
nice.
Dad. That's
yeah.
really nice.
No, it's really important. I see that. So,
yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Precious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, back to the raising boys thing. I totally forgot my question.
Well, okay, wait. Something about having kids.
That's a deficit.
You guys got married, but then you waited almost 5 years?
Yeah,
to almost. To have kids?
Whoa, hold up.
We got married in 92. Kayla was born in 96.
And that was in your 30s, because I told Abby the other day, we could literally wait like 8 years to have more children, and that would be in our 30s, just like you did, because you were 30 and Dad was 32 when you had Caleb, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we dated 2 years and then got engaged, and then were engaged a year. So we were together 3 years before we got married. And then, yeah, we waited 4.5 before we had Caleb. Whoa. So really, we were together 7.5 years. And I really, we just always talked, unfortunate, like, no one in my family had ever divorced, and but my mom and dad did, right, when we were getting married. Okay. So we were like, okay, we really want to make sure this is right. You know, there's no need to rush. And unfortunately, John's family, his dad, that happened quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we don't want this to happen. Well, this is forever. We're getting this is a covenant.
I was very concerned about making the wrong decision and getting divorced. I wanted to make sure I waited until I...
So we waited to get married. We knew after 3 months we were going to get married.
Okay.
But we waited 3 years just to get, because you need to go through all the ups and downs, and all, you know, there's going to be valleys, there's going to be mountains, and there were, and you know, we did it. And then we were like, let's just enjoy our time and then have kids and not think, oh, I wish we could go out and I wish we could do this. Mm-hmm. And I wish, you know, we had some fun, and then we were ready to stay home, you know, and we, and so we're committed for life. I said, we would never get a divorce. One of us would just be dead. We would just kill the other one.
Don't do that.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I see you watching Dateline all the time, yeah, Mom.
48 hours Dateline. She knows how to get rid of me. My body would never be found.
How to kill your husband. It's always how to kill your
wife. You heard it right here, folks. You know, if there's anything ever happens to my parents, you know how it happened.
Matt, there's no way that we could drag your dead bodies anywhere. Think about how heavy you'd be.
Yeah. Why are you talking about this right now? You're into that too. You, Abby, listen to Crime Junkie. It's like a murder
junkie.
I would have to push you off of a cliff or something.
Abby knows how to kill people like very efficiently. She listens to this stuff all the time.
It's the interesting stuff.
It's honestly, I feel like it's a woman's innate like urge to figure out how to stay alive, because it's always the women,
right? 99% of the time, it's the guy doing it.
I heard about that one where the two best friends ended up like having a little something come up, and one of the best friends hooked up with his other best friend's wife, and then they murdered the best friend.
Yeah, but she had a man do it with her.
Well, I guess she was the culprit. She was the one that convinced.
They said that he got eaten by crocodiles.
It wasn't true. She just had the guy.
Okay, let's go to something really sad.
Yeah, let's think about positive things.
Okay.
But I think that stuff is selfish when people make those decisions. You know, it's just selfish.
Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by SeatGeek. We love using SeatGeek to find the best deals on shows, games, everything from the above.
Everything from the above. And we actually went to a show on my birthday 1.5 years ago using SeatGeek. What's really nice is you can find deals on tickets by using their tool to see if they're in the red, the green, the yellow. Green obviously means you got a good deal. SeatGeek has pricing technology to tell you when it's a good deal and when it's not a good deal. So they make it super easy for you to buy tickets, find deals. You can literally do it right on your phone or your computer if you're old school.
Yeah. And we've used it much more frequently than just 1.5 years ago. I think that was just the first time
the first time we used SeatGeek?
No, but we've used it before, then we've used it many times since. I even looked recently for us to go to the Nutcracker. It is the best, most simple app. And, you know, we came through for you guys. We have a code. Use our code UNPLANNED for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code UNPLANNED. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app.
Thank you. Now back to the episode. You didn't have kids for, you said, 3.5 years?
After? 4.5.
4.5.
Just to make sure they were going to stay together.
But Dad, I remember there was a time in your life where you thought you would never get married and you thought you would never have kids. Why did you decide to have kids? What changed?
A short skirt and tan legs.
That sounds awful.
That's weird. Okay.
I'm pretty deep. You know. No, I'm a shallow guy. I saw Mom. I was like, wow, she is hot. So I just walked right over to her, introduced myself, and the rest is history.
There's much prettier women that you've seen, you saw before.
Hey, you know
that.
What? Who's the gal that reminds me of you, and I took a picture, compared your eyes to her eyes?
Oh, no. I don't look anything like
what's her.
What's
her
name? Come on.
What's her name?
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. So Heidi Klum and Mom have the same eyes. and knows. So I took a picture of Mom and Heidi Glum. She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Hang on a second." And I edited it and showed both of them. And her eyes and nose,
he's
both
losing
of them were
his
very
eyesight.
Similar.
Anyway. So maybe she's your other soulmate. You know, maybe she's the other person that could have worked out with.
No, I think your mother is beautiful, and I couldn't be happier.
That doesn't make sense. But you went from not wanting to get married and
but kids. Well,
didn't think I could be happy being married and having to deal with kids and all the stuff that goes on with kids. I just wanted to be rich, famous, and do whatever I wanted to do and just be all about me. And then I had two guys I worked with, Mike and I can't remember. Matter. So anyway, I was talking to two of them.
Dave.
And one guy was traveling and going to Hawaii and just having a great time. And Mike was married, had three daughters, and he spent all his time on his kids and money on his kids, and they were doing dance classes and everything, and he drove an older vehicle, and the other guy had a hot rod car, and I was like, I don't want to be like the other guy and not be like Mike. And Mike sat me down, he was my boss, and he goes, "Now look, someday you're going to wish you had a family, and it's going to be important that you have family, and family's more important than a car that's going to rot and rust and everything else."
Yeah.
And he was right. So I look at me. I'm blessed to have a wonderful son, grandson, and great daughter-in-law, and couldn't be happier.
That's you really sweet. Wished you had a daughter, though.
Yes, yeah. But someday I'll have a granddaughter.
You think
we're
so?
Trying.
You think it's going to happen?
Only have
yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
But when you got married, though, it was. Did you guys always know that you were going to have kids, or was that a topic of discussion?
Yeah, we talked about
it. It was just a quantity.
And he wanted three, and I wanted three. Right. So that was good. We always said three.
Oh, okay.
I don't know
that
why.
Is really good.
And people say, oh, when you ride the roller coaster, you have an odd person, all this weird stuff. It's like,
how often are you on a roller coaster?
Exactly. John or I will sit
alone. Or if you're
alone.
In a booth having dinner at a restaurant,
you just pull up a
you
chair.
Can have, you know, a set of four. Having five is difficult, but sometimes spouse is not there, or one of the kids is going to a friend's house. And then one day somebody said, "Well, now you got your golf foursome." So I got three boys and myself. I said, "Yep, someday I'll have to, you know, take my boys out and have our golf foursome." We've never done it, but
yeah, we've never done
it'd be
that.
Cool to do that.
But I actually wanted all three boys.
Hmm.
John,
wow.
Unfortunately, like most people in middle school, I was bullied, you know, my eighth grade year, mm-hmm. and girls were lying, saying I was doing all these wild things that I didn't even know what they were. You know, I was just mm-hmm. so clean cut. And I was crying myself to sleep every night. And I was like, for a period, you know,
yeah.
and I thought, I am miserable. Like, if this was my daughter, I would want to go up to school and wring some necks. And you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, most of my friends were guys. They're just, this is a compliment, like simpler, straightforward, say yeah. it like it is, move on. And so I had mostly guy friends, and I was like, God, I just want three boys, just three boys. And so I wanted that. Now,
and,
John,
oh yeah,
he wanted a girl. But I think if I'd have had a girl, he'd have forgot about me.
And when you were working full-time as an engineer, you started to have kids, which, by the way, congratulations on, like, I didn't realize as a kid how cool that was that my mom got her engineering degree. I didn't realize how hard that was to do. And I didn't realize that you were like a pioneer in that too, because not very many women went to school and got a civil engineering degree and did what you did. So, like, kudos to you, Mom. That's awesome that you did that.
People do a lot harder things.
But when you started to have kids, why did you decide to quit your job and become a stay-at-home mom?
Well, I feel so bad for people that have to work, unless they want to work outside the home. You know, some women do, but I wanted to raise my own kids. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, but we had some financial issues, so I worked part-time with you and Caleb. I worked 20 hours a week, and then with Josh, it was just too much because Dad was working lots of hours and all weekend,
yeah.
and so I stayed home full-time, and then I went back part-time, and now I'm full-time again now that everybody's out of the house. But I wanted to raise my kids. I thought, why am I having kids if I'm not going to be a part of their life. You know what I mean? But like I said, some people can't afford it. And I don't know how, you guys have said that too. I don't know how single parents do it. I don't.
Yeah.
That would be the most difficult job. And people that work outside the home and a single parent, you know, it's just, woo. But anyway, I love being a mom, and I just had the degree to fall back on. And it's served us well, right? A few times.
Yeah.
That dad's had some job challenges and I could step up, and that's what being a partner is about.
Yeah. And you're back now. You're back working full time as an engineer. That's pretty cool.
For 5.5 years. Wow. Yeah.
So I've always worked in a sales capacity. It's performance based. So you can have a good year, you have a bad year. And if you don't have a good year, just like a professional athlete, you know, they can't keep you around if you're not driving in runs or pitching well. So in sales, if you're not hitting your numbers, you know, they don't keep you. So that's why I think you guys have been a little gun shy about, you know, going to a sales career or something different now. But, you know, I think sales career is a great career, but sometimes it's pretty tough because no matter what you do, sometimes you just can't close that deal, and it's tough.
When you look back on memories of raising me and my two brothers and what those times looked like, are there certain moments that you wish you could go back to? Are there certain times that you felt, oh, maybe
also,
I was
also, who is working? Your most troublemaking child?
Well, we've already discussed that.
Who is
He's
it?
At the mic right
I wonder
now.
Who it is.
You.
Was that the hardest to raise of all the boys?
I think you just had a lot of questions. Okay. And I think that's probably the biggest thing is Caleb didn't ask the questions you asked, but you were very curious about how things work and why things happen, and questions about Santa Claus, since this is going to air right before Santa or before Christmas. You were like figuring things out about Santa Claus that other kids your age hadn't thought about, and you just, I don't know, you're just kind of very aware of everything that's going on. You ask a lot of questions.
I remember drilling you about Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
I drilled you hard because once I figured everything out, I was like, okay, so then the same must be true about the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, you know, all these people.
Yeah, you challenged your mother big time when you saw a gift in the back of the car.
No, that was Caleb, actually. You, Caleb figured it out with me. We had an interrogation room, essentially, in second grade. Me and my buddies. Well, we were just like thinking, it was almost like Santa was on trial, and all like me and all my friends were like, okay, what is the evidence? Like, what are you guys seeing in your house that makes you think that Santa's real? And we started to figure it out.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And that's pretty advanced to think and talk like that, because a lot of little boys your age, that's the last thing they think of.
I've just always questioned everything. Like I wanted to know why. I didn't want to know, oh, this is just the way we do things. I wanted to know the reason why, because I don't know. I didn't want to just accept that face value. This is why we do things, and I'm not going to explain to you.
And that's what everybody said. He's smart is why he asked questions. You wouldn't stop asking questions. And I would answer like 10 in 20 minutes, and then I'm like, okay, I've hit my limit. Mom, just because mother said, we're moving on, because I was exhausted. Yeah.
How should we approach the birds and the bees talk with our kids?
I think you let them ask about those things. Don't tell them things they're not ready for.
Okay.
So what's that called when you wait to them to get to age appropriate where they start asking questions, and don't bring it up and try to force something that's not ready to be exposed to your children?
Yeah.
What if they don't ask?
And just let it go. They're in eighth grade. You know, by eighth grade, they've already figured it out.
Yeah, eighth grade, they usually kind of know that there's something going on. So I would ask questions and see where they're at with the thought process, but don't force it on them until they're ready, but maybe ask them questions.
Yeah, I think you're totally right about that, but I almost think that if your kid is getting a little bit older, you need to have a conversation.
Yes.
Because you want to make sure they're not learning everything from kids in school or from the internet.
Correct.
Because
I wasn't told anything. And my parents were like, oh yeah, we did. I'm like, I think I would know.
That would be a memorable conversation.
Yeah.
Did you have a birds and bees talk with your parents, Dad?
We lived in a kind of away from a lot of other families. We lived in a rural environment, and then we moved to this place in Wisconsin where I had some neighbors and there were girls, and then we were playing spin a bottle, kissing and everything. So then my dad had a conversation about the birds and the bees, because he knew that we were playing spin the bottle. And
oh, I thought it was because you were about to say that it was because you live on a farm, and that's how a lot of people learned about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So eighth grade, we were playing spin the bottle, and my dad found out that, you know, my brother and I were going over to the neighbor's house playing spin about all the girls, and he wanted to make sure that we knew that we got to be careful.
Hmm. Did they have like sex education in school when you guys were kids?
No.
That wasn't a thing?
In high school?
Not, I don't remember ever.
Really?
They did in high school. Classes.
I'm pretty sure they like gave each kid a banana and were like, here's a condom, here's how you put a banana on.
Which, why would they even need to do that now that you think about it? Like,
wow. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, that seems pretty...
I don't know. I guess
straightforward.
I know it's probably straightforward, but kids are stupid, man. Like, kids do some stupid stuff. You got to make it pretty. That's you got to make the instructions pretty simple.
Yeah, you're right.
Make you it think as they clear should use possible. A cucumber and not a banana?
I don't know, man. Neither's great.
Okay, enough on that.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Funny. What was the most ornery thing Matt did growing up? I'm just curious.
Ornery. Remember something, Henri, that we can share here?
I
on
drew the American
podcast?
Idol logo on our carpet when I was 5 because yeah. I really wanted to be on American Idol.
They were kids' markers, but they weren't waterproof.
Yeah.
They were permanent. Who has kids' markers that are permanent? And then
I don't know.
I think the biggest arguments were over the silly helmet.
Oh,
and now
yeah.
you're the helmet man.
I think helmets are great.
You guys made your point.
But I see, I like to have fun safely. I call it safely sending it. So if I'm going to do something fun, I want to make sure I'm doing the most to ensure that I'm safe in case I fall off, right? Because there's so many stupid ways to die or stupid ways to get paralyzed or have a concussion. You might as well throw the helmet on and call it a day.
I guess probably one of the ornery things he did, he's very, once he gets his mindset, he's going to do it. So when you start dating Abby, and she lived in Quincy.
You were like, yeah,
I'm going to go visit Abby.
And 2 hours away. 2 hours.
Gosh, 18 years old, I guess.
I was 18.
Started getting,
I was about to turn.
So you just started driving 2 years before. And all of a sudden, you're driving by yourself all the way up to Quincy by yourself.
These little
And you're
roads.
Just taking off. And one time, I think you said, I'm going there. And you're
and we're like,
stop
no, you're
me.
Not.
No, you're not. And then we'd track you with Live 360. Okay, he's almost to Quincy.
That was on.
I remember that. And you guys called.
Oh,
Abby's
yeah, you
parents,
called my parents.
And you told them, hey, just so you know.
We told
Matt,
him not to
well,
go.
Well, I didn't want them to think we were crazy. Like, I think it was a school night or something.
I think I might have been off school the next day.
But
I don't
she
know.
She wasn't.
I had 1 month left of school.
I
was
know.
18, about to turn 19. I was going into college. And so you guys were saying, no, you can't visit your girlfriend. And I said, I don't know about that.
But that sounds drastic when you were seeing her like every week. It's not like we were saying, you
I
can't
will say,
see.
I was old enough to be in college. So
I know. Yeah, and that was another good move, too, on that. We can talk about
kindergarten
that
Kindergarten twice. Kindergarten
My mom held me back. I went to kindergarten
two.
Twice.
It wasn't hold back. It was the gift of time.
That's right.
It was a blessing.
I could have been medicated, though, for ADHD.
You wouldn't have your creativity. No.
It would I could have probably stumped. Just taken it maybe like a day or two a week.
No.
I'm
well,
still
one of the neat things you did is you were in the box and you wanted to ask her to homecoming or something.
Yeah.
And so Lori helped out with this gift idea. So you showed up with this box in the front.
They've shown it.
Yeah, front porch. And they just ended their song that you just released with Abby laughing of you coming out of that box. I thought it was a real cute way to end that
So I wasn't trying to narc song. On you, letting her parents know. I wanted them to know we were responsible parents and we were not just allowing you to drive up there because you were going up there a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here you're in high school.
You were in love.
I was so in love. I was
still
so in love.
Yeah. And we're like, we didn't say this was okay. Like, because I knew they weren't letting you drive because it was small little roads.
Yeah.
It wasn't an interstate. It was pretty dicey.
That was all I knew. I did not know how to drive on an interstate.
Yeah.
So how are you guys going to keep this fire going? That's one of the things that we've tried to do.
It's our
as
interview.
A relationship. So, I mean, we're trying to keep, I think, by being positive and intentional. That's the word.
Mm. Intentional. You have to be intentional.
That, you know, I would bring her flowers. I'd massage her back every time. But there's kind of times we fight. But then the makeup is fun, too. After you've been fighting, you can make up. And that's fun.
Dad, that is so weird.
What?
The makeup is fun?
You don't.
I'm not talking about mascara.
I know you're not talking about mascara, Dad.
This is where Matt gets it from, by the way.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
I'm intentional to a fault, actually. I don't like go with the flow. I don't like whatever. But the good part of that is like, yeah, every night we eat and he helps me clean up. But then I'm like, okay, are we going to read a book together? We'll read, you know, and talk about it or go for a walk together and talk. We always are intentional about what are we doing together every night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's important. Now, you guys necessarily, but once everybody's gone, you got to at least have your 10 minutes of being intentional or whatever, you know, with kids. But
yeah, it's pretty wild to me just because we don't have a normal perspective on life in a lot of ways, but especially because we work together all day, every day.
Yeah.
Whereas like you guys have your time at night where it's like, this is our intentional time. So it's like, we have to be
Yeah.
Figuring out where do we put this in the middle of our day.
But I think it's good that you break away to go work out. And then Matthew does work. And even though he's in the house, he's breaking away. He's kind of doing some things on his own. So I think it's healthy. And I think it's healthy once in a while that you do something with some guy friends or...
Have to be on the calendar. With you guys having so much. It has to be written down. It has to be on the phones or it won't happen.
Right. And you've gone to Nashville to do some recording. So that's breaking away from family.
Yeah. Do you guys have like a weekly date night that you have planned every Thursday you do something?
Well, we watch like The Voice. That's kind of our thing to do. And we go on dates either Friday or Saturday, go on a date.
We love to go to Joey B's and sit outside with the fire pits and everything.
That's where Josh used to work.
It feels like you're on vacation.
Speaking of Missouri, do you think you'll ever move out of Missouri?
I know. They're talking about because all these home renovations and we're like,
I'm like, wait a second. Are you going to leave that
house?
Sell that
thing.
Because all of your grandkids are in Arizona.
We'll see. I mean,
someday.
I really like the four seasons. I like the green grass. I like seeing the deer in my backyard. I like our house. Oh. And they make fun of me about the deer.
The green grass.
He sends me pictures of the deer about every other week. I'm like, Dad, I get it. You have deer in your backyard.
Squirrels, rabbits, birdies. Yeah.
I hated those deer. When I was a 7-year-old, I was trying to grow a garden and they kept eating all my plants. They ate all my tomatoes. They ate all my tomatoes.
There was a couple summers. Yeah, he really did work hard. You were like a little farmer.
Yeah, now you use my garden as like a dumping ground for all of your grass clippings.
Cannas and elephant ears in it this year.
No way.
Because the deer don't like cannas and elephant ears. I learned that those
He's became a plant and a bird. Man,
those plants are not appealing to the deer. I got like 4 or 5 hummingbird feeders, and it's fun to watch them.
He just sits out there and watches his hummingbird.
Is that scary?
Old guy.
For me, like I'm 25, and when I turn 25, I'm like, oh frick, I'm a quarter of the way to 100. Like my life is not infinite. And so, is that scary to be in your 50s and think, okay, now I'm having grandkids? I don't know. You just realize my life doesn't last forever. Like I have a time clock on this earth. So is that freaky at all with, do I stay in St. Louis? Do we move? Do we do part-time in Arizona and part-time in Missouri? Cause that's what a lot of, you know, snowbirds do. What have you guys thought about that?
Well, that's, we're not trying to pressure you.
No, we
will always come back and visit.
Yeah, we will.
No, I totally, especially Josh now moving on and you guys having kids, and it's really weird. It's fortunate and unfortunate. At my job, when someone passes, we get an email, and you know, just to show the visitation and if we want to send a card or go to the, you know. And I mean, like every other week, someone in their 50s is passing.
Gosh.
And, you know, we're 57 and 59. I don't care. And, you know, whatever. And so that's kind of when I've stepped back and I'm like, I've always been a saver. I've always been saving for a rainy day and always waiting to enjoy this or enjoy that. And I'm like, I'm going to start enjoying things. Like, you know, we've came here out here a lot for us because we're so conservative and saving our money and everything. But I'm like, what else are we living for if it's not for our kids and our grandkids? Like, I want to, if they'll have us, I want to go out there and see them.
We'll always have you.
Yes. Yeah. But I know someday if you guys stay here, we will definitely be coming. It's just, you know, we have a lot of friends. Yeah. I have my group of women Bible study. John does. And we just, and our couples, and we have our people, right? But you're our favorite people. It's just that
we're the favorite kids.
No, our kids are our favorite people, and our grandkids.
Like me, not Caleb and Abigail.
Our children, but anyway, it's going
to
be hard.
It's a little easier now with the technology to keep up with your family and friends.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch you guys do this podcast or Instagrams. So I just feel like I'm getting a snippet of what you're doing every day, and I'm almost getting more insight as what you're doing than if I was even out here. Because you're filming so much that I'm saying, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that this was so important to you.
And I think that's weird.
The things that you've done and things that make you laugh, like the interview of you interviewing Caleb and Abigail.
Yeah.
There's a lot of insight that I learned by watching those videos. It was fun.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So we're talking about things in that interview that you wouldn't have
heard
about.
Well, we really need to communicate better with your parents.
Well, some of the stuff you just don't realize.
Because it's the girls to us.
Yeah.
And you know, with weird. The birth. We well, like, learned Abigail, some of the
she
details.
She was talking about how she was scared that she could have died.
And being there and, alone yeah. so long.
I didn't know that stuff until the podcast. I didn't realize that she was that fearful in what was going on. Mm. And she probably doesn't want to go there and talk about it because it's very scary.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, you know, you see what somebody went through without having to have them address it and bring up those hurts
again. But I'd rather be in person.
Yeah, but that didn't allow me to learn about what she went through and how scary it was for her. Because you were crying. And I was crying watching you cry.
I was going to ask if you cried.
Everybody was crying. Yeah.
Why is it that dad's the emotional one and you're not, mom? And I'm just like you. I get it from you. I'm not emotional.
Because she's mean.
Okay. Just, you don't have to.
Whoa.
You don't have to visually show it to mean that you're not hurt inside. Yeah. You don't have to cry. I'm hurting inside, but that doesn't mean I have to show it.
Do you fight the tears or are they just not? I cannot fathom not being an emotional person. I don't understand.
I think since I was raised, my dad was pretty tough and we were all girls at the time when I was home. It was always like, you know, you shouldn't cry, tough it up and stuff, like be tough. Mm. And so that was like considered a weakness. Which is sad. That's not right. I mean, but that's how I was raised. You know what I mean? So that's just kind of how
I am.
Are
your sisters emotional?
They're more so than me, but I'm the oldest. So I think it was the firstborn kind of, you know, suck it up for the family, you know, whatever. Aww. But I mean,
John's the teary one.
I know.
My gosh. I hate it.
Really?
I hate being emotional. When it's my dad died, I was asked to be the one that would speak on his funeral.
Oh, gosh.
So when I got up there, I started off with a little joke. I thought, okay, if I can get everybody to laugh, it'll help me get through this. So I said, and I'm serious. There's two things I hate to do in front of people. And I said, to cry is one, and the other one is to throw up. And I hope I can get through this without doing either one. So that's how I started off.
Yeah.
So people kind of giggled, and then I got into it. And it was just tough to talk about somebody you loved and cared for so much, and are now gone. You're never going to see them again.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just emotional, and I guess I become more emotional as I get older.
You used to not be as much.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is.
As you get older, you're getting more emotional?
I think so.
Softy.
My cousin told me before he died, he says, I think it's just as you get more experiences, you become a little more vulnerable, and you have more experiences. So my cousin Chuck's mom died, my Aunt Ruth, I called up to share my thoughts and feelings, and I couldn't even get the words out. I was just tough. Here I was calling to console him, and I'm like,
that happens to me.
Yeah,
that
I hate it. I hate it.
To me.
And you're at a funeral, and you're going to see somebody, and you're walking through. Sometimes I don't even know the family that well, and I'm like getting choked up. It's like, this is somebody I barely know, and I'm getting. But it's tough when you see other people cry.
I think that means you're an empath.
Yeah.
Isn't that what people say? Or at least empathetic. I don't know.
Yeah, empath. My dad's definitely
empathetic.
That's
me. Like people I will go visit to like send my regards if someone's passed, and then they end up consoling me, and I'm just so mortified. I'm like, no, not. It's
I'm
not
sorry.
Me. I can't control this.
This episode is sponsored by Nutrafol. Hair thinning impacts a lot of us. In fact, over half of us will experience hair thinning. I didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. It's not only common, it's very normal. So join the thousands of people who are doing something about their hair thinning with Nutrafol.
My mom's dad was bald, and I'm pretty sure that gets passed down to me, so I'm probably going to go bald.
It's interesting how it's the mom's dad.
I can already see like a little bit going out. That's actually why I started taking Nutrafol, because of that too, the hair thinning thing.
Yeah, your hair has been thinning just a little bit. I don't really notice it, but Matt's very insecure about it. But I also can say that my hair is thinning, because if you've seen our shower wall anytime recently, I just have an art of my hair that falls off.
Actually, it's crazy. There's so much hair on the wall in our shower.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. It's clinically proven to improve hair growth, visible thickness, and strength. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code UNPLANNED. Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code UNPLANNED. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code UNPLANNED.
Now, back to the episode. I know, Mom, we were talking about Abigail and how she felt like she might be close to death when she was giving birth this year, and I think you had a similar experience when you were giving birth to Caleb, my older brother, in 1996. What? Tell me about that, because I'm sure you probably could relate listening to the podcast. You were probably freaking out. probably really scared when you're giving birth to. Was he 10 pounds? Was he over 10 pounds?
10 pounds, 4 ounces.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a and she baby. Had a vein coming out of her forehead, pushing so hard. And
I didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, and they had the suction cup out and forceps. I'm like, is my son going to be okay?
They don't use those anymore, I don't think,
Is this going to be okay? Am I going to lose him? Is he going to be born with birth defects and stuff like that happens?
I don't know when they decide to do a C-section.
Oh, my gosh. I was scared to death.
Well, yeah, why did they not decide to do a C-section?
I don't know.
We're young and stupid. We didn't know this was our first child. We don't go like... When did you do a C-section? You know what I mean?
And you guys didn't have the internet. Like, how did you learn about any of this stuff? Did you just
talk to your friends? You had to go to classes. You had to go to birthing classes.
And you just had to have faith in the system and your doctor.
And faith in God.
And the nurses. Yeah. But if things don't... Because this is not supposed to be a perfect world. So we're not going to get out of this thing without having challenges.
Okay. So I knew he was big, but I didn't know how big. They just said they thought he was over... 9 pounds. You know, Josh, they told me they thought he was over 10 pounds. They did know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was my water broke. So I said, thank you, God. Because I was thinking I wouldn't know. I was afraid I wouldn't know, you know, because they said happening every 5 minutes for an hour long, you know, all these crazy things. And like, so I'm thankful my water broke and got there and I
were
did
you
have
full term.
Yes. I was just a few days before. Okay. You know, that whole story, I had him a day before Audrey.
Yeah, my cousin.
We had a car phone. I can't believe that. John had like...
A car phone?
I know we called Cindy. Wasn't
That's
it
so weird.
I don't know if it was a built-in car phone, but the technology, it wasn't as good as it was.
I can't think of a world without smartphones. That's so weird. So a car phone
but
was
that
a very
was cool.
It
was like
a thing
in the car.
Built in. Yeah.
And so you called your sister on your car phone.
She was supposed to deliver before me. She was due before me.
Okay.
And so she was already past her date. So they were going to induce her on Tuesday. And this is Sunday night. My water broke. And I'm calling her at like 11 p.m. And she knew, why would I be calling at 11 p.m.? She goes, you are not headed to the hospital. I'm like, yes. And she goes, and I'm the oldest and she's second. She's like, you just could not let me beat you in one thing. Why can't you let me win at one thing?
Well, you're competitive. I am very competitive.
When
we play family games on family game night, you want to beat everybody.
That's why I just sit back and don't play.
Even if that means breaking the rules sometimes.
I don't break the rules.
When you disclosed to your mom that we're going to have a baby, and then right after that, your sister disclosed that she was going to have a baby, your mom was like in big time shock. And then here it is, fast forward, I don't know how many years later, 25 years, you and your brother both disclosed you're going to have babies about the same time.
Yeah.
And that was, and it's on our little video frame in our kitchen. Aww. Where you guys disclose the fact, and Griffin's going to have a baby brother. And then they all looked at each other. It's like, you said it again. And it was unbelievable. And then you come to Thanksgiving, was it 2 years ago, announcing that you're going to have a baby, and then announcing that you're going to have another baby the same day as Caleb
this
and
year.
Abigail.
Well, that's why we did it at the same time, because we knew the story that you guys had with you and your sister being pregnant. So we thought, how cool is this that, 27 years later, this is happening all over again. Or I guess last year, it had been 26 years last year.
Yeah.
So Griffin and CJ are 3 weeks apart? Something like that.
2 or 3 weeks apart.
Yeah.
So back to you, almost. Not that it's about me, but... So I had pushed for hours. I had an epidural, but you know, they say after a while, okay, now we want you to start pushing. I could not lift this leg because it felt like, I don't want to be too graphic for people that are going to have babies still, but felt like someone was stabbing me with a knife, right here every time this leg got lifted. So Dad had to stand on this side and lift my leg every time I pushed because I couldn't do it. I wanted him out, but it hurt too bad. I didn't know if it was a boy or girl. But
so I'm holding her hand, talking to her through it. And I'm, you know, being in medical sales, I was in surgery a lot. And I just wanted to see what was going on. So I took a peek. And she goes, will you focus on me?
I didn't want him down there.
Squeeze my hand. Like, she goes, pay attention.
So it hurt, pretty bad. And like he said, they had the forceps and this thing that looks like a toilet plunger. It looks like a plunger that they suck.
Pulling.
And three people got on top of me. The
and
doctor
pushing on her abdomen,
pushing on me.
It was like unbelievable. I was like, oh my gosh.
Did they stick the forceps up there to pull Caleb
out? No, his head started to come out, but he wasn't, like the shoulders weren't coming out. So they're like pulling on his head and trying to move his shoulders.
Oh, and the other thing, they had a team in there for him because he had swallowed.
Yeah, the what is it called?
Marcosum.
Marconium? But what is it called?
Marcosum.
Amniotic fluid?
No, like it was the poop. There's a better name for it. So all you people in the medical world,
there was
sorry.
Like,
but yes.
It like rhymes with marconium, I think.
Yeah.
I can't think of the word right now.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible? We look silly.
Watch the comments, but we don't know how to
and
spell it.
And so there was a whole team around his little bed when he came out too, because I had to take that out, you know, so he didn't get that in his lungs. Anyway, so it all worked out fine, but yeah, I went to weigh him and he was 10-4 and yeah, that was rough, but thankfully, and then they had like this girl that was studying to be a nurse. I couldn't go to the restroom. I kept trying. So then had to get the catheter and she was practicing and couldn't. And I'm like, can we finally just get someone that knows what they're doing? I'm very sorry.
Yeah, you told me she was sticking you with a needle to like draw your blood and like run tests on you or what
well,
exactly happened?
Well, to do the catheter.
Oh, she was trying to put the catheter in and she couldn't put it in.
Because she was like practicing. You know, she was, So I'm like, I can't handle any more pain. Can you please get somebody?
So here it is. Meconium. Aspiration syndrome occurs when a newborn breathes a mixture of meconium and amniotic fluid into the lungs around a time of delivery. M-E-C-O-N-I-U-M. So meconium.
I don't know how they
this
knew
is like
that,
when we're at dinner as a family and somebody says something and then you go on your phone. We're like, what is dad doing?
Well, I like to be informed.
And then 5 minutes later, you're like, meconium.
Was it like traumatic enough that you were like scared for the second baby? Or
obviously not, because Matt was 19 months later.
Yeah, okay.
I guess that's the blessing that you kind of forget. Not forget, but it's not as bad. And it was also wonderful. We really weren't wanting to have one that quick, but we thought we might have some challenges because a lot of our friends, it took a while for them to have their second baby. I don't know why. We're like, well, we might as well try. But we are blessed that we look at each other and get pregnant. Like every one of you were the first time, the first try.
Yeah.
So we got pregnant the first try, and you were super easy because he was 9'2".
Compared to 10'4".
Oh, yeah. So the birth
and
was a breeze.
It was only 19 months.
Okay.
Yeah. I won't say what I normally would say.
What? What would you? You said that I was the runt, right?
You came out easy.
No, I said I've had worse bowel movements.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Crazy. She did everything for you that it's just so hard to fathom. Like,
that gave me a lot of respect for you guys. Going through raising two boys, like, I realize how much you did for me. And I don't think I quite have expressed that.
Yeah, you need to tell them.
Yeah, I don't know. I you guys are amazing parents. Like, you guys did so much for me and my brothers. And I don't know if I've properly thanked you for everything you did raising me.
It's about darn time.
Nursing me for 14 months.
14 months?
Caleb,
wow.
14
I didn't
months.
I know you did 14. I thought you did a year.
Yeah, you're getting on a school bus and it's like, oh, come on. He's got to get on the bus.
I don't know where 14. Caleb just did 14 and then I was pregnant with you. So then I was like, oh, I have to, like you were, you know, you have to stop. No, and for the women that can't and it's hard and it, like, I know one of my sisters, it was a difficult thing and they wouldn't latch and, you know, don't beat yourself up and, but I thought it was going to be weird and like, I don't know if I can do this, but I ended up loving it and enjoying it. And because my mind kind of never shuts off and is always working, it was a time that I could relax and just enjoy my time with a baby and not feel guilty that I wasn't doing something.
Were you working part-time while I was a baby or did you completely go full-time being a mom by then?
Yeah, so your whole until Josh was born, which was 4 years later, I worked part-time. So those 2 days that I went into work, I pumped.
Okay.
I went. It was so weird back then. It was in a restroom. Like, they didn't even have a room for me. But it was the handicap restroom, and it was big, and there was a desk, like, and a chair for me to pump in there.
Wow.
So I did that with Caleb and you, you know.
Were you treated fairly as a mom who was trying to work? Like, did you feel as if you had any loopholes to go through or roadblocks as someone who's trying to work and also be a mom?
I think especially back then it was all engineers. It was mostly all men. I think they were respectful.
Okay.
The only weird thing was having to be in the bathroom, and now it's not that way. There's a real room for a couple of the moms right where I did in this bathroom next door is a little room for these two women on my floor. So that's awesome. And now they get maternity leave and there's actually paternity leave. Like, that's awesome. I had to use my sick leave and vacation
Wow.
Like I wasn't sick, you know, and but that's okay. I'm not mad. I'm glad things have gotten better, mm-hmm. you know, for women today. So
did you guys have any troubles postpartum? Did you experience any postpartum depression, or did you have any challenges that you remember from that time after having kids and trying to figure things out afterward?
I think you did a good job. I know we were very aware of it. There was times when you get headache once in a while, but I'm sure there was probably some times when you were sad, and I think it had to do with a lack of sleep. Had a lot to do with it, because there's a few times that I remember you were just having to push through, and she's always been very, very tough and amazing about not complaining and, you know, pushing through. So, but I think it had to do with lack of sleep. At least that's the way I addressed it.
I think Caleb, I got the infection with the milk.
Oh, mastitis.
Yes, I believe that was with Caleb. And then with Josh, I had the spinal migraine.
Yeah, we're leaving a hospital, almost to the parking lot, and the headache was just terrible. She goes, there's something, I can't go home like this. So it was like Thanksgiving Day we were headed out.
Yeah, yeah.
And we went back. They had to do something called a blood patch, where they take a little bit of blood out and put it in your back, and the headache goes away. And that's what they had to do for you.
But I had three babies. I had three kids, so I...
Did Abby have that too? Did they do that? Okay.
I know.
Abby gets migraines a lot, kind of like you do, Mom.
No, but realize I haven't... I don't know why, but... That's something that actually got better with pregnancy.
Oh, good.
I didn't get hardly any migraines the entire time I was pregnant both times.
Wow.
But now you're back to getting them again, I think. Because you had one today, didn't you? I need to get
pregnant again. Yeah, you need to get pregnant again.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, then Josh, even though he was 10-5, it wasn't as bad as Caleb, because that, you know, me and my first. But Josh, I went into the doctor 4 weeks before his birth. And I'm thankful the doctor was gone and the nurse practitioner saw me, and she just got off maternity leave. And I walked in, and I always look like Santa Claus. It's just like all here. And she said, oh my gosh, that baby is in the tens. And this was a Friday. And I'm like, you're kidding. And she's like, no, she did all these different measurements and everything. And she's like, yeah, it's in the tens. I want you here Monday to see the doctor. And I'm almost positive you will be induced on Tuesday, the next day. And so on Monday, when I was there, the doctor's like, you're not in the 10, she's crazy, all this stuff. Then he looked at the chart, did some measurements, he goes, he's in the 10s, I want you here tomorrow. So we came in, he's 3.5 weeks early, Josh. They took the fluid to make sure his lungs were developed enough. That's all they did, was test that. We got a call and they said, they're developed. Come back in. We're going to induce. And then he was born that night.
So you were 36 and a half weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I waved at Griffin. Still, he just got back home with his Uncle Josh.
Yeah, my brother's taking Griffin on a walk through the neighborhood.
The 10-5. Yeah, so.
I'm also so curious, because back in your day, like, what did you guys do for birth control? Because IUDs weren't really a thing,
Matt,
right?
Matt asked his separate parents bedrooms. Everything.
that's why you sleep in separate bedrooms.
No, separate bedrooms.
No, but didn't you tell me, like, when I first mentioned an IUD to your mom, didn't you say that back in your day there was a big scare with IUDs?
Well, she thought you said IDE.
Stop it.
Improved explosive device. Or oh, no, that's an IED.
IED. That'd be an IED. Funny joke, Dad. That was good.
You're wrong. I think it was more like tampons and things had caused different issues with women.
Okay.
Toxic shock.
Oh yeah, your generation didn't use tampons.
No.
Which, like, when Abby used to, I was like, oh, my mom, like, I, when I was a kid and I was cleaning your bathroom and cleaning those hairy floors, I always saw
you bring this up like you did it daily.
All your feminine products would be like next to all of our cleaning supplies. And so I was like, oh, this is a pad. Moms use pads. And so Abby using a tampon, I'm like, this is a completely foreign thing to me. Like a tampon.
I guess my mom scared me to death, you know, just because of her generation. You know, we learned from our moms. But and then I tried the pill a few times, but it made me feel really bad. I just didn't feel myself and felt...
I felt fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That went over like a lead balloon.
Anyway, but after three boys, Dad always said, I will take care of it.
So you never once thought...
Me too.
Maybe we want a fourth.
Well, I did. And he said, no, no, no.
Oh, you did.
Well, actually, after the two, kind of like you guys, when you were exhausted, when Matt was born,
yeah.
Dad was like, I think this is enough. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. You promised three. You promised. I said, let's just give it a time. Give it time.
And you did. Then, you gave it a decent amount of time.
Yeah, four years. They're 4 years apart. Yeah.
Well, I said eight. I was like, the other day, I was like, Abby.
Like, double that.
I was like, you know what? I just realized.
But we started
later. We could have children in our 30s. Maybe we could have another kid 8 years from now.
I think it's better to have them closer in age than have them that far apart.
Well, that's what I thought too until I had to. And then I was like, oh, I can't do this.
I think it's easier as time goes by because when Caleb was born,
they'll help.
He needed a lot of attention. And then you were born and it was tough until
18 months.
You got to be about two, three years old and you guys were entertaining each other and playing with one another.
You would just sit there and play.
And it took a lot of pressure off mom.
Yeah. But then dad went and got the chop chop. We actually went to see the doctor right after Josh was born. And he said
he got the chop chop.
Yep, vasectomy.
I was like, I cannot figure out what
you call that chop chop?
She does.
And but what, how long do we have to wait, a year?
Yeah, they want you to wait about a year to make sure the baby is a year old before you go through the vasectomy because if something happens, then you might want to have another child. And if you're
they said,
the vasectomy,
we know you're not replacing it, but some people are so sad. It's just what they want. So we don't want to rush into this.
They asked me when I got my C-section if they wanted to tie my tubes.
Wait, actually?
They had, yeah, they said I had to sign the paperwork and I was like, wait. I was like, no.
Whoa.
I was like, absolutely do not.
Wait, that's crazy.
But then they said that because I'm so young, that even if I said yes, they would have really, really pushed back on
it. Oh, because you're not in your right mind either.
I know, but isn't that crazy?
Well, I thought about that with you getting an IUD again. I thought, well, maybe I could just get a vasectomy because they are reversible, but I did some research.
You don't need
to
go into all
that. It's not 100% accurate, though. So
and
you can't.
Painful.
Super painful.
Oh. It is?
We have a friend that did.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, painful to reverse, but not to get it done.
Not the original.
Yeah. Oh, okay, reversing.
My friend, he had it done. It's like being kicked in the groin by a horse.
Oh, my gosh.
I have no sympathy. I'm sorry.
Me neither. Sorry. No. No, just wait.
I don't blame you.
But no, you will do it. It's the least you can do.
Oh, my gosh. Of course I'll do it. I saw.
That's
I
what
still
Dad
can't
said.
Believe. Like,
I'll hold your
the
hand.
The whole concept of birth is just so crazy to me. It's just so.
Matt's scarred more than me.
I'm so thankful for Abby doing that because I saw everything happen. And yeah. What are your favorite memories of being parents? Favorite memories of us?
I think just seeing you guys interact with each other and then watching some of those old videos of how you reacted. And I think when we took the pacifiers away from you guys and we had the Binky Fairy come and take the pacifiers away and having a flyer at the, I think it was like Easter time, saying that the Binky Fairy came, took the pacifiers and you got these gifts and you guys, you know, bought into that. And that was fun. And just, I don't know, just watching how you guys interact with each other. In some of the videos, it was just fun. I think your best memories, I think, are probably between when the kids are about 2 to about 7. But then it's just different fun things, you know?
Different faces.
Wait, the Binky Fairy, that he's real, right?
Yeah.
Just making sure. Because we didn't talk about that one.
That was mainly for Caleb. He just would not stop with the Binky.
But it was fun watching you. I was reliving this when you were in a show at the Muni, Sound of Music, and I was scared to death. And you had a solo, and that show is the largest outdoor theater, I think, in the country, right?
Well,
the Muni?
It's the largest outdoor musical theater in North America.
And here I am, I don't know, about 15 rows from center, watching you on stage and performing. And
you were a nervous wreck.
Oh, my gosh. And you were up there singing and dancing and did a great job. And this is right before he found out he had a tumor in his back. So you're in pain and you're pushing through it and you did a great job. And like 2 weeks later after that performance, we found out you had a tumor and you had to have major surgery in your back. And I don't know, that was a very proud moment to see you up there on stage, having learned all those lines and perform and just knocking out of the ballpark in pain. And you just loved it.
Thanks,
and it was
Dad.
Just very proud of you.
Something you told me a couple months ago was you miss when me and my brothers would hide in the kitchen when you came home from
work. Oh my gosh,
and we'd jump out and scare you and you pretended to be scared every single time. And now with Griffin, when I play with him and I jump out and scare him and he giggles and laughs, like I can't help but think about that same memory that you had with us.
Yeah.
We had like this half wall. So you could hear you coming in the garage and we'd hide behind, you guys would hide behind the
wall. And mom coordinated that. She goes, oh, dad's home. So hide and surprise him. And you'd come out and there's, hey dad. And it was so fun.
And you blink and they're 6'2", 6'3".
But now I'm enjoying my grandchildren and enjoy seeing you guys together. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're blessed.
I think being a parent is going to make me more emotional. I think it already has.
It has. He started getting a little tiny
attaboy.
But I'm telling you, you'll get more emotional as a grandparent. And that's the thing my sister asked me. She said, I don't get it. Like all of our friends that are having grandkids, they're like, it's so good. I said, well, it's because as a parent, even though you're playing, you're thinking, I need to make dinner. I need to fold this laundry. I need to do this. You're not fully just there.
Yeah.
You know, especially me, and it's hard to shut my brain off. But as a grandparent, I don't have to do anything else. I can just play and do what I want. You know what I mean? I don't have to make dinner. I don't have to do the laundry or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that it's so awesome.
Dirty diaper. Here you go. You changed them.
It's wonderful.
Well, you guys are amazing parents.
You guys are really, really
good parents. Thank you for always being there.
Thank you for having us on your podcast.
Thank you for coming on. You guys are the most supportive. You guys are like the most supportive people of anybody for us. And even when we had like
100,
I think we had like
they were 10, sharing our videos on Facebook.
You guys shared our videos on Facebook, and we had like 10 subscribers on YouTube.
That bumped you up to like 15. I think.
It was just so sweet.
And also, just think about how different each of your boys are. They're vastly different, all three of them.
Yeah.
And you support each of them where they're at so well, and just encourage them and. You're willing to talk about anything with them and just always, you guys also always seek advice from other people and are very humble in that way and just,
Yeah.
Really good.
Especially you, Dad, with advice. I think you've always been very humble and asking for how you could be better, how you could be a better dad.
Oh yeah. You ask that all the time.
to
your kids.
It's just an honest question. I really respect that you don't try to pretend that you have it all figured out. And I think that's something that I learned as an adult. Like, it's almost as if there's really no real adults in this world. It's as if the adults are really just the bigger kids, and we act like we have it all figured out, but we don't, you know?
Well, we made a lot of mistakes for sure. But yeah, I do think the one thing we did pretty good, like you said, I had me and my two sisters, the three of us are the same age difference as our three boys, like exactly. And my dad meant it well, but like wanting us all to be the same, do this. And I was like, oh, we want them to be individuals and their strengths. And they all three have different strengths and they're great. So they can all be who they want to be and we'll support that. Right?
I feel like that's the greatest goal as a parent is to just like help your child find their own strengths and just how to build those up.
And love that.
And love that.
So we're videotaping this the day before Thanksgiving, so we have a lot to be thankful for. So thank you for being a great parents, and thank you for all the things that you do for us. And I'm looking over here so I don't get emotional because I do that a lot. And we couldn't be happier, and I'm so blessed to be out here in Phoenix visiting with you, two of you. And this will probably air sometime right before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody. We love our family. We love this opportunity to share our times together.
And stay here.
Let us know if my parents should start a podcast. Maybe they'll have to.
I think I'd get canceled in 2 days.
You're too emotional.
Well, if you guys haven't already gotten your What's Up Dudes merch, we'll have it in the description. It's also available. I think there's like the shop on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, you can literally just like go right underneath
the
video.
Right there.
And it's literally right there. And it's also at unplannedpodcast.com. Did you know that? We have our own website now, unplannedpodcast.com.
I heard you on a call say that yesterday.
Isn't that cool? We love you guys. And as always, 3, 2, 1.
Peace out, dudes.